You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 16 as we continue to go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and book by book through the New Testament on Sundays. I'm looking forward to this Wednesday coming up as we're in 2 Kings. We're in the Old Testament on Wednesdays, and we're going to be talking about a king that was bad to the bone. That dude, oh, he was the most awful king ever. And so we're going to look at that on Wednesday, but today we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Father, thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that you minister this word into our hearts, write it upon our hearts that we might not sin against you, Lord. We pray, prepare our hearts, the soils of our hearts, to receive the seed of the word of God, and may it bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, looking at verses 14 through 16. And the title of this message is, They Don't Understand. They Don't Understand. Now, why is it that some people don't understand the clear message of the gospel? That we are sinners and Jesus came and took our place and died on the cross for us, so that we can be forgiven and saved. He died so that we don't have to die. Now, why does anyone have to die? Because Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we are sinners and we should die for our sins. But Jesus gave us a gift of salvation, and it is eternal life through him when we repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in what he did for us on the cross. Now, why aren't people running to Jesus to be forgiven and rushing into the kingdom? I mean, to be forgiven, why do people want to go around carrying their own sin? Your shoulders were not meant to carry them. That's why Jesus died. And why aren't people running, rushing into the kingdom to be forgiven? I believe that these verses answer this question. Now, by way of background, Paul is writing to the Greek culture that prided themselves in human logic and human wisdom. Paul, in verses 6 through 13, told them that God has a hidden wisdom they know nothing about. God's wisdom was so far above their human wisdom that the Roman authorities and the religious leaders in Judea thought that they were shutting Jesus up by crucifying him. But Paul said in verse 8, had they really known what the crucifixion would really do, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then Paul said in verse 13, because of this, we're not going to speak to you using man's wisdom, but what the Holy Spirit speaks, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, or comparing scripture with scripture. Look what he says there in verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Now, notice the conjunction but used to start this particular verse shows that Paul is now contrasting the spiritual man that he just finished talking about with the natural man. Now, he's going to make a very interesting observation. See, the Greek word for natural man is psukeikos, and it means worldly minded. It was used to describe the behavior that is more of earth or carnal than heaven. Someone who is unspiritual. You've all ran into these type of people. It described a person who lives without the influence of God's Spirit, whose mind is focused on worldly, sensual things, and who is unable to understand nor receive spiritual truth. And maybe you're here and I just described you. Are you always focused on worldly, sensual things? You know how we can know your speech gives you away? You know, remember what they said of Peter, you're a Galilean, for your speech betrays you. And we can say the same thing. You're worldly or a natural man because your speech betrays you. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your speech always has a sexual tone to it. Your jokes, your advice, or your lifestyle is worldly, sensual, and not on anything spiritual or godly. Singles, my precious singles, look out for these people because they're out there. Listen to their conversation, the things that they're interested in. Watch this. Your body or your Bible? Which one? Which one are they more interested in? This is what the natural man or woman is all about. What are some other characteristics about the natural man or woman? Notice the second part of verse 14. It says, he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Paul is referring to unbelievers, but especially to the Greeks he is writing to. And this is why they called the message of the cross foolish or moronic, because they cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. The Greek word for receive is dekome, and it means warm, receptive, welcoming. Here's a little Greek lesson. The verb that's used here is in the middle voice in the Greek language, which means the person is benefiting from the action. For example, matter of fact, let me just say that this word is used 59 times in the New Testament. For example, the sentence, I am washing myself. That is in the middle voice. The active voice is you are washing someone. Or the passive voice is someone is washing you. But the middle voice is you are washing yourself. You're benefiting from the action. It's reflexive. You're benefiting from what is being done. And this is why there are certain people who cannot receive or welcome the things of the Spirit of God that you're trying to share with them. Why can't they understand? The next part of verse 14 says, it says, watch this. It said they cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. First of all, it's foolish to them. It says that it's foolish. That Greek word is moria. You remember we mentioned that. It means silliness, dull, or lack sharpness. It is where we get our English word moron from. It's the same Greek word that's used in chapter 1, verse 18, and chapter 1, verse 25. When you come across someone mocking, making fun of the things of God, or don't want to get away from me with that mess, I don't want to hear that mess, our evangelism team, they go out all the time, and that's some of the comments that they get. I don't want to hear that mess. Get out of here with that. You know what category they're in, the natural man or woman. So the natural man cannot receive or welcome the things of the Spirit of God because, number one, it is foolish or moronic to them. Number two, because they are spiritually discerned. What does this mean? That Greek word for discern is anakrino, and it means to examine, to judge, or to scrutinize. This word anakrino was used to distinguish by vigorously judging. For example, the police officer did a thorough thorough job investigating the accident. That's Anacrino. He did a thorough job vigorously investigating what took place in the accident. See, the natural man or woman cannot understand the things of the spirit because they are spiritually unable to judge, scrutinize, or investigate thoroughly spiritual things. They lack the capability to do so. I love what the great preacher back in the 1800s, Charles Finney, had to say about this verse. He said, "The unspiritual are out of court as a religious critic. They are deaf men judging music." Another scholar said, "Just as a tone-deaf person cannot appreciate fine music fully, the person who rejects God cannot understand God's beautiful message." Just can't do it. This is why I have always said, you talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. Why? Acts 26 verse 18 says this, that this is God told them, this is why you were called. This is why I called you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We must pray that God open the eyes of the natural man or woman long enough to receive the light of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4 doubles down on this. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "Whose minds the God," little g, "of this age has blinded," a reference to Satan, "who do not believe." And this is why they cannot understand nor believe the things in the Bible, because Satan has blinded their minds. He is trying to keep the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, lest it shine on them. That verse goes on to say. You know what I find amazing? That in Mark chapter 4, it says something just amazing in dealing with the parable of the sower. Actually, in Luke 8, Luke's version also makes mention of this. It says that when the word of God goes forth, it's like seed being planted. And then it says this, when a person, Luke's version, Luke 8, it says that when a person doesn't understand the message, watch this, Satan comes and snatches the seed out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Isn't that incredible? This is why I try to make the word of God as plain as I know how, by my everything that's within me. Because I don't want anyone going out of here not understanding, and then Satan said, "Oh, I see that seed lying on the surface of their heart. I'm going to go and snatch that, lest they should believe and be saved." That is amazing to me to hear that. And as you can see, this is more than an intellectual or academic issue. This is a spiritual issue against the blinding forces of Satan and the power of the light of the gospel. This goes far beyond your spouse not wanting to come to church, nor read the Bible, or do anything spiritual. You're fighting against the forces of evil, trying to keep the blinders on their eyes. We fight these forces not in the natural, worldly way. We fight Satan's forces with spiritual weapons, which is prayer. Talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. Paul told us how to do this in Ephesians 6, at the end of this section dealing with the whole armor of God. He said in Ephesians 6, 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." And I'm so thankful that Paul said, being watchful to this end, notice, with all perseverance. Why? Because prayer is a spiritual thing, and we can't always see God working in a person. The natural man or the natural woman that you're praying for. And we can have the tendency to want to give up, lose heart, or stop praying for them when they don't change immediately. See, we want them to change immediately. Especially a wife praying for a husband, we want him to change immediately. He's a jerk to me. So God, change him by this evening. And then this evening, he's more of a jerk. You're like, oh, man, this ain't working, man. Yeah, man, get out of here. And we stop praying. He said, praying, notice, with all perseverance. That particular Greek word, it's only used here in the New Testament. And it means to stand firm. It means at all times. So keep praying for the natural man or woman in your life. Keep praying for them, because we the verse I'm about to quote, we hear it. We know it up here in our brain housing group that we stay in the Marine Corps. And we know it up here. But we don't know it practically. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The fight is not your spouse, your teenagers, or your grown kids. That's not where the fight is. Not your coworker and your boss or your cousin and pooking them. It ain't against them. It's not against them at all. We fail to realize, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against. So we do wrestle. It's just not against flesh and blood. Ray them. It ain't against them. He said, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. We're fighting a spiritual battle. You're fighting a natural battle and hoping that it will change things spiritually. And you wonder why it's not. Because you're fighting it with the wrong weapons. You brought a knife to a gunfight. Now you're fighting with the right weapons. The right weapons is prayer. So stand firm in prayer for them. Notice what he said. At all times. That's what he said, at all times. That blows me away. However, here comes another conjunction in verse 15. Look what he says there. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Thank you, Paul, for this verse. I'm so thankful for this verse. I'm going to show you how unbiblical many of you are. The Bible says you shouldn't judge. Paul, what did you say? But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much. He is saying, because we believers have the Spirit of God, we can judge some things. Nope. A few things. Nope. He said all things. And the Greek word for judge, guess what? It's anakrino. The same Greek word used in verse 14 for discern or scrutinize or thoroughly investigate. We as believers can make right judgments about spiritual things because we have the Spirit of God living in us. And verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So because the Spirit of God is in us and searches all things pertaining to God, then we as believers can judge all things. That's what the verse says. So when people say, yeah, well, you didn't that Bible say something like you shouldn't judge? Just smile at them and just correct them. He who is spiritual judges all things. And then it says, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Means unbelievers are unable to judge us concerning spiritual things, which are what we believe and what we say about the Bible and spiritual things. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of God in their lives. We do, And we are able to scrutinize, discern, or judge spiritual things. Now, sometimes in order to know what a verse means, you have to know what it doesn't mean. This is not saying that we are above criticism or someone rebuking us. Why do I say that? Because Paul is doing it here with the believers in the church of Corinth. He's rebuking them here. This means a natural man or woman cannot do it unless we're doing rubbish and we're misrepresenting God, like Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 12, verse 18, and Genesis 26, verses 9 and 10. They happened to marry some good looking, fine women. And they said, okay, when we go into, like me with my wife, but I'm not going to lie and say she's my sister. Even though she is, she's my sister in Christ. But these guys, Abraham, he said, man, you good looking. Now, Jewish tradition says that Sarah, Abraham's wife, was as beautiful as Eve. Say she was good looking. Soon as that honey came into Egypt, they were like, who in the world is that? And he said, okay, before we get in here, you do me this kindness, Sarah, to say you my sister. And she was his half-sister. So a partial, kind of partial truth is a whole lie. And so we go in, and they saw him. Immediately, they went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, you should see what just walked down the runway. You should see this one. So he brought her. They saw him. He brought her. Say, you're my sister. And guess what? He got rebuked for that. And guess what? Abraham had a son named Isaac. And Isaac had a good-looking woman. Just when we go here, say, you're my sister. Fruit don't fall far from the tree, does it? And he got rebuked because he got caught smooching on his wife. And they saw him. They said, bro, this ain't your sister. You don't smooch on your sister like that. That's surely your wife. He said, man, somebody could have laid with her. You would have brought God's wrath on us. Man, go on. Get on out, you and your cute little honey. Get on out. Y'all got to go. And so they got rebuked for doing foolish stuff. And once again, what Paul just finished saying, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. He's going to do what he always does. He's going to back up what he said with scripture in verse 16. Look what he says. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul is quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13, to show what he is saying is not a new concept. He is saying because we have the Spirit of God in us, we have access to the mind of Christ. And this is why we can judge all things, because we have the mind of Christ to direct us in spiritual things. How do we grow in the area of having the mind of Christ? It's by growing in the Word of God, by reading it, studying it, memorizing it, quoting it. After a while, you will start thinking like Christ, living like Christ, giving advice like you have the mind of Christ. There's something I skipped over that I just got to just kind of go back to. The Lord kind of reminded me. You remember how Abraham and Isaac both said, hey, you know, just say you're my sister, just to kind of save his own skin. There are many people today, the Lord showed me this morning, zero dark 30, 43 degrees driving to church in my office. There are many people today that are no different than Abraham and Isaac. Well, I want you to meet my husband. And y'all, you know y'all ain't married. This is my wifey. That ain't your wifey. That's not your wifey. Y'all not married. It's no different than them, those guys saying, say you my sister. Just say you my wife. Say you my husband. Let's try to get these benefits from the government. That's probably why the government ain't working now. Many of y'all getting over on the job. We ain't use our budget. Let's just start buying up a bunch of tomfoolery. That's probably why they ain't working now. Y'all ain't use up all the money. But it's no different than what Abraham and Isaac did. I know people all the time. And, you know, me and my husband, we... And all the time I'm looking at them like this, kind of sideways, and y'all not married. Why are you calling them that husband? Okay. Let that sink in a little bit. That's a pill that's kind of hard for modern day people to swallow, but it's still the truth. It's no different than what Abraham and Isaac did. Just to save your rear end, just... You know, say you're my sister, just to save on some kind of benefits or some kind of this, or to get more of this. Say you're my husband, say you're my wife. No different. Well, what else did Paul say? Well, you have to wait until next week as we get into chapter 3, because he's going to deal with a subject that came up in chapter 1. And he said, let me deal with this in chapter 3. Let me conclude with this. In this message, they don't understand. We saw why some people don't understand spiritual things, because they are spiritually blinded by Satan. So pray diligently for those in your life that are in the category of the natural man or woman. Let me just say that the Lord just showed me this. Did you know that God allows these people in our lives to test our faith? Yeah, I mean, he allows those people, those relatives, those co-workers. He allows them in our lives because God sees that there is something in your life that he wants to smooth out, some jagged, rough edges. That he wants to smooth out. There are some attitudes and the way that you deal with things that is not Christ-like. So he allows these people in our lives to bring it to our attention. And so we can pray to God and ask him to help us deal with it. That's why these people are there. That's why they're there. The natural man, the natural woman. So pray that God removes Satan's blinders, so they can see the truth of the gospel. And I believe that God has given some of you here the ability to see what's going on with the light of the gospel, and to see your own sin and how it needs to be forgiven. And you ought to thank God that you can see, or thank God that you understood or can understand what the message was today. That there are some people who just Satan got blinders on. And you're like, why can't you see this? This is clear. Why can't you understand this? Because they're spiritually discerned. They're unable to see. It's just like telling a blind man, can't you see that sunset? That sun is pretty bright. Why can't you see that? And they're like, I'm blind. I can't see it. So this should also give us compassion for those who are in the category of the natural man or woman. They're unable to see. Can't you hear that beautiful music? What music? They're deaf. They can't hear it. And we need to pray that God will remove Satan's blinders so they can see the light of the gospel, so they can get saved. This is why this is so very important. And I hope this helps you understand, or helps you deal with the natural men and women that are in your life or that you work with and know why they're rejecting. Get that mess out of here. Because I've always said, if I was telling you, here are three ways of how you can win $10 million, they will be all ears. Because that's what the natural man is about. They'd be all ears. But if you tell them how to be forgiven, how to get saved, oh man, get that mess out of here. Get that mess out of here. You're going to hell without salvation. Oh man, yeah, I'm going to go there and be partying with all my friends. You see how the silliness that people say? The dumb stuff. As my little mama used to say, that was just dumb. The dumb stuff, I'm going to be down there partying with my friends. Okay. Okay. If you like things hot, okay. Okay. So now you have some understanding of a person's need to be forgiven. And you're forgiven through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so as we close in prayer, and for those of you whose eyes got opened up to hear this message here, this will be your opportunity to get things right with God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the cross that you took our place on Calvary's cross. And we're so thankful for you doing that for us. You died so we wouldn't have to die, so we wouldn't have to be separated from you. Oh, Lord, I just pray for your precious people here. Lord, I pray for those who need to be forgiven. I pray for those who need to put their faith and trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would draw them to you now.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Tony Clark. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Tony's teaching ministry by visiting calvarynn.org.